This is According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell, McPherson's sports talk show.
But I think at the fair I'd blend in because I spend my summers at my grandparents' farm.
Listen Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Sister Jean, well, she actually had him going out in the second round. You know, her name's mud there.
According to Jim, is your home for the McPherson Bullpups.
There's a 30, Jace Kinnaman turning on the Jetson inside the 10. Touchdown, Bullpups.
Everything happening in the sports world.
Pass is caught. Diggs, sideline, touchdown. Unbelievable.
And even some things not happening in the sports world.
We're really funny.
Well, I'm really not.
I think you're pretty funny.
Well, that's just because I'm so confused.
Now it's time for According to Jim. Here's Jim Joyner and Steve Sell.
Let's do this thing. Another edition of According to Jim right here on 96.7 FM KBBE, or for those of you listening online worldwide at midkansasonline.com. I'm Jim Joyner. Joining me as always, the man who is not in the hospital like he was at this time last week. Well, you might have still been in urgent care at this time last week, but Mr. Steve Sell.
Yeah, that seems like about a year ago that happened.
And probably it felt like you were in the hospital for 3 years.
Yeah, I'm still trying to get my legs back. You know, when you lay in a hospital bed for 3 days, basically 3 days solid, and you don't eat anything, you're a little weak once you're out, but I'm building my strength back up. Still no golf yet.
I think it would take me several weeks of not eating and laying in bed for me to not be as strong and muscular and toned as I am.
Yeah, I could feel it in my legs, but the thing is, no golf, and really, with everything you and I have going on here pretty quick, there's really not much time. You're feverishly working on getting ready for the upcoming season. We got some broadcasts coming up real quick.
I just have so much that's on my radar and so many things that I'm preparing for that sometimes I sit down and I go, I don't know what to do next. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I should do that. I was here for like 10 hours yesterday.
Yeah.
We're in football season. Yeah. We're in sports season.
We're
getting back to it.
We're in sports season. In fact, all my stories for the fall magazine have been written. They're putting the magazine together as we speak. Hopefully, by the end of the day, we will have a final proof, and we'll send that off and get it printed. We're going to have them for the we won't have them for the soccer home opener, but we will have them for the football home opener. The soccer home opener is the 28th, I believe, of August. They're right now the target date. If everything goes according to plan, we'll have them August 30th. So, fall sports preview. On the midkansasonline.com today, I am running a few. I emailed all the coaches for the football. Got some responses back. I'm kind of going through the first week of practice. I've already posted two stories. Kent and Galva, how they went in their first week of practice.
Screaming Eagles.
Heston, Coach Bowerly, they're loaded down there at Heston.
Whatever the heck a swather is.
Yeah, and I'll have just about finished right before I came on the air. I got a Little River story. All I got to do is post it. And then had one Mound Ridge. Jeremiah Meeks has got back to us. Of course,
Dridger Nation.
They're going to 8-man this year. Still waiting to hear from Coach Sawyer at Inman, Coach Lambert at Smoky Valley. If I get information on them, I'll post how their first week of football practice went. But, it all depends on coaches getting back to us. And Coach Lafferty at Little River, he's all excited. In fact, he says, where was this weather when I played high school?
Oh, I know.
Because it's been, and today's going to be fantastic for the high school kids. It's only about, 75 degrees at the most right now out.
I walked out of the high school last night at 8 o'clock, and it was like 68 degrees.
Yeah.
I ran into our friend of the show, Susan Newton. She was coming in. I was coming out.
Yeah, Susan Newton came to the hospital and saw me.
I know. She was one of the four people. No, you had more visitors than
well,
that.
Six.
Oh, yeah, we'll keep the number disclosed.
Well,
the official tally.
But I didn't really, you know, want to
She was
publish.
Worried about you.
I didn't really want to
I told
publish.
Her you went out to football practice on Wednesday, and she gave me a look.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, just
what
about,
was he doing?
I about passed out. So, but I did go to the football scrimmage on Saturday, high school football scrimmage. You were huffing and puffing and swimming and doing whatever in the
Luckily,
triathlon?
Luckily, I did not have to swim.
You didn't have to swim?
Run and
okay.
ride my bike.
Okay.
I just had to yell into the microphone.
Oh,
the people
okay.
that were. Did you think I was running in the
I
triathlon?
I thought you were running because you're a runner. So I did not
no.
know. Okay, you were. Okay.
No, I was the MC.
You were the MC?
I can't believe you thought I was running and swimming.
Well, I know that you biking. Run. I know that you run. I didn't know if you. I thought maybe you were. Running is, and then you had two other people that helped you.
I think some of those little junior triathlon kids would have beat me this weekend.
Well, we do have, we got the results. I posted the top 10 of all the categories online at midkansasonline.com. I noticed you could tell fall sports is getting here. Our numbers went up this week by about 2,000. And remember, I was gone 3 days, and I was in the hospital 3 days. So
you were just relying on me.
Well, yeah, and of course, no sell on sports those days. Sell on sports numbers were a little down because I didn't have a sell on sports. So numbers are going to really start to shoot up. Got a story posted today about the big fall preview on Friday night at McPherson Stadium, and, of course, the drive for your school. We urge everybody to get out. You got to meet that goal. You got to get that $10,000 from McPherson High Booster Club.
Steve, you mentioned the McPherson football scrimmage that was on Saturday morning. I didn't get to see it live, but I went back and watched a lot of it on film. And I think that, kind of like what we saw last year, the defense is always a little bit ahead of the offense, and especially this year on the defensive line.
Wow.
Because those guys are just so big and so strong, and so sometimes some plays just get blown up. And you don't really get to see exactly the way it should have happened, because when you have a Khalil Lisbon, a Cody Stufflebean, a Noah Avila, a Tanner Pacey racing their way through the offensive line, and they know what play's coming to. They've
yeah.
practiced against these
sure.
guys. Sometimes the offense can't get going. But I thought the offense looked pretty good.
Well, yeah, the very first play, Jace Kinnaman busted one right up the middle.
Bounced it to the outside.
Yeah, and Coach Monty said to Jace, he says, I like the way you're trusting your blocks. You seem to have more trust in your blocking compared to this time last year. And it was interesting, you know, I talked to Coach Pav extensively. I had a story on midkansasonline.com. If you didn't see it, Coach Pav's thoughts on the scrimmage.
Extensively? How long is extensively?
Oh,
about 2.5 minutes?
No, because we talked off the record for about another 15 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
Because my friend Terry Bruton came out, and he's a friend of Pav, and we kind of sat there and talked a little bit. But it seemed like Coach Pav's answers to about every question were the same. I really like where we're at right now. And if he says that, I really like where the Bullpups are at right now.
I think that you and I know him well enough that he's not going to come out and be over the top dramatic about anything. And if anything, sometimes he'll sell them a little short. Not in a way of being, oh, these guys are terrible, but
yeah.
saying, you know, we've got work to do. And even last year, he would say that in games where the really good Bullpup defense is going up against Circle, who hasn't won a game, or they've lost 36 of 37. He said, these guys are going to be really good. If we're not ready, we're going to have a problem. So sometimes he does undersell it. And so you're right. With him being very confident in this team, I think that's a very good sign, as we're now less than 2 weeks away.
Well, for those that weren't at the scrimmage on Saturday, I think it's evident, at least to me, the offense is actually ahead of the defense at this
yeah.
point. There's no question. The offense, to me, you know, the first team guys didn't take that many reps. Kyler Hoppus zipped a real nice pass to Talen Huff that he would have taken to the house. Talen Huff's got serious speed. And like Coach Pav said, he says, we don't have enough balls really to go around, you know, for our skill guys, because Kinnaman's going to run the ball a lot. Hoover, Wired, and Huff are going to catch a lot of passes. They didn't even throw the tight end. They've got a couple fullbacks this year. That's something, you know.
Well, then plus Jacob File out of the backfield.
Yeah, Jacob
is a great number two
yeah,
running back.
Yeah, Jacob File, you know, really ran well behind his blocks. And we talked about the offensive line. Dawson Van Gotham, the only returning starter. He's got four new guys up front. But if I remember last year, didn't we have like four new starters or an entire new starter?
It might have been five.
I think we had maybe five new starters on the offensive line. And those guys, of course, meshed in a hurry. These guys are going to mesh in a hurry. I think the only thing I see about the offensive line, we are not very big. I mean, we are we're a little light. But, you know, look at those years the Denver Broncos were so much smaller than everybody else in the NFL. And because of their quickness and their blocking scheme, they were producing a 1,500-yard rusher or 1,300-yard rusher every year. you know, Super Bowls, things like that. So it's really not how big you are. And McPherson College is the same way. I've gone out and watched them practice. They're not very big in the offensive line, whereas, you know, you look at a Bethany. Bethany's 320 pounds plus across the offensive front. But it's all about technique, want to, quickness, things like that. But as far as the scrimmage, Coach Pab took a long look at everybody. Even the freshmen got in at the end. There were a couple freshmen who are going to be really, really good.
Well, and they had everybody graded by the time that they met last night at 5 o'clock. So they had all watched the film, and each position coach watched the guys at that position, and they had grades where, let's say, somebody played 8 plays. They go, well, they did their job on 6 of 8 plays. Ooh, they did their job on 2 of 8 plays. They really struggled. So they know exactly where everybody's at. And to me, that's very impressive after a scrimmage like that.
Yeah, and we're going to have some guys that people probably haven't heard too much about that are really going to play important roles. You're going to see a couple. I think that you're going to see at least 2 sophomores maybe start this year. And, you know, for us, that's kind of unprecedented because we've been a pretty much senior-junior dominated team, and sophomores very seldom play. But I think this year you're going to see, you know, you're going to see some sophomores play this year.
The other thing, Steve, that I love about this time of year is the first week of practice is, okay, we're focusing on us. How do we run our offense? How do we run our defense? What are the schemes we're going to run? Hey, let's throw in a couple of trick plays. Then all of a sudden, you get into the second week where there's a little bit of that self-evaluation. You're still going over what happened in the scrimmage, but now the attention has flipped. The attention is not on McPherson as much from their own perspective. The attention turns to Salina South.
Exactly.
And this is an interesting week because throughout the regular season, yeah, the coaches might peek ahead a little bit. Let's say week number 2, they're playing at Winfield, and they know week number 3 is coming up next, and they get a little film on El Dorado. They might even look ahead to what Bueller did in their games in week 1. But for the most part, you're focused on 1 week. And when they're in practice for week 2 against Winfield, they will be preparing for Winfield.
Well, I can guarantee.
But this week, they're getting ready for Salina South.
I can guarantee you last year, the Bullpups opened with Bueller. I don't think they were even looking at May South. I mean, they put everything from actually after the last game of the 2016 season until that game to kick off the 2017 season, it was Bueller, Bueller, Bueller.
Yeah.
And I mean, everything was focused on Bueller.
And let's be honest, once they knew that Bueller had lost in the district, lost to Andale, because that was the game that would determine who was 1 and who was 2, once McPherson had a pretty good feel that they were going to be 3-0 and win the district, they didn't spend as much time on Abilene as they did getting ready for Bueller in a week.
Yeah.
And so this is an interesting week because not only do they get a little bit more time to prepare for Salina South because it's the first game, the only downside is they don't know exactly what Salina South is going to do because they don't have any tape on them from this year.
Right.
They have a little bit of tape from some camps, and they can take some guesses on some things from last year, but really, they're just guessing. Where if they think Salina South is going to be in this defense, Salina South could come out in a completely different defense for the first snap of the game, and they just be completely thrown off.
And Sam Sellers, though, has been the longtime coach. He's had a great run at South. The last couple of years have been a little bit of a struggle. But one thing with Salina South, you're going to see some robust, you know, the three backs across behind the quarterback. That's been a staple of South teams. Sam Sellers, Ken Stonebreaker, of course, who's the AD now at Salina South. Stoney, one of the guys. He'd be a friend of the show, Jim.
Stoney.
Stoney's a good guy. St. John, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Comes from St. John. But Salina South will run some robust. One thing Salina South will bring to the table, they will be massive in the defensive line. That will be the strength of their team. They have lost a lot of personnel from offense. I'm not sure what their record was last year. It wasn't very good. But they,
I believe it was 3-6 or 4-6.
You have to remember, though, they play Derby. They play Hutchinson. They play Mays. You know, they play teams like that. They play a big-time schedule. They will be formidable in that first week. And if I recall the last time we played Salina South, and correct me if I'm wrong, you've probably already done the research, I want to say we hosted them here, and it was a 14-7 game. And that was a game Noah Juergens, I want to say it was about 3 years ago, Noah Juergens carried 38 times in that game for the Bullpups for about 220 yards. McPherson came away with the victory. It was a slugfest. Now I was talking to our good man, the bus, on the team, and he said when they were ninth graders, they lost to this Salina South senior class. So if that tells you anything, they were edged. Now the bus got a concussion in that game. He didn't play the second half. But, you know, that's a little, you know, drawing point. If nothing else, these seniors, they hearken back to when they played Salina South as freshmen. They remember losing that game.
Just so you guys know, the last time that they played, McPherson beat Salina South 14-7. So sometimes you might think Steve is this crazy guy. Oh, I remember this game in 1983. Let's start to believe him if you haven't already.
Well, but the thing
he got it. What happened the year before that, 2014?
That I don't remember.
Oh, come on. What kind of reporter are you?
I don't know.
It was ugly. 61-32.
Oh, yeah, track meet. I remember the track meet broke out.
But anyway, this will be a really fun 2 weeks because they'll be putting in offenses and the scout team is going to be very important here and making sure they have everything drawn up because Salina South is a really good first week opponent to get this season going.
And well, I think it'll be really fun to see what happens.
Yeah.
Now, if we were playing Circle the first week, nothing against Circle, but let's face it, 62 to, what was it last year?
7.
62-7. It was 62-0 at half. I don't think you learn a whole lot about your team. It's kind of like Augusta. The last few years, the Bullpups have played Augusta in week 4.
Right.
And Augusta, I believe, has been 3-0 each time the Bullpups have played them, and they were getting state recognition. And what happened to Augusta?
Ugh.
Yeah.
41-0, 40-0.
Yeah. The last 2 years, it's been 81-0. And Augusta found out in a hurry that it wasn't quite as good as it – now, good program, don't get me wrong, but it wasn't the 3-0. You know, they weren't – their 3-0 was a little bit of a paper 3-0.
Fun show today. We get to talk a little bit about the NFL. And I have two things I want to talk about. Number one, the Chiefs preseason game against the Falcons from Friday. But I also want to talk about another NFL issue that has been flowing all around the – sports media world here for the last couple of days. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about the Royals and a couple other things at the end. But coming up next, Kansas City Chiefs as well as NFL talk. You're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Back on this afternoon's According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE. The man in front of me, Steve Sell, wearing his 2006 U.S. Senior Open, hosted at Prairie Dunes, jacket.
I went down there.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah. Walked the number 10 fairway with Tom Watson, and he and I are having a one-on-one interview. How's that?
That's pretty good.
I was pleased.
Maybe here in 10 years, you can have Tiger Woods walk down the fairway with you. How would you enjoy that?
Well, in 10 years, I'm going to be in my 70s, so hopefully I'm still walking the fairways.
You and T-Gray can have fun.
Yes, hopefully I'm still walking the fairways, striding confidently.
Well, on Friday night, Steve, we got to watch a little bit of the Kansas City Chiefs in their second preseason game. And I've got a take that I think you and I kind of agree on, but sounds weird coming out after a game like that. Chiefs won 28-14, but it was a little bit of a deceiving 28-14. Because Atlanta jumped on them quick and went right down the field, scored a touchdown. Chiefs went 3-and-out, right back down the field. And then they went for it on fourth down, kind of deep into the Chiefs' territory, and they turned it over. Chiefs got a touchdown. And then right before the break, Patrick Mahomes unleashed a bomb. And he had thrown a bad interception earlier. He had thrown a near interception in the end zone. But unleashed an absolute nuke down the field. And we've got to give a credit to both sides. Number one, for the arm strength to be able to throw the ball 70 yards in the air and high, but also the speed and route running and awareness of Tyreek Hill to run this ball down. I don't know the last time I've seen a play like that.
Well, that's, if you read my column today, I did my column on the Chiefs and my takes from it. I said it's the most jaw-dropping play in the NFL exhibition season. It's just like, when you saw that happen, that's why Chiefs fans have such wild expectations for Patrick Mahomes. They see a play like that, and that made him forget about that really bad interception he threw.
It was bad.
It was really bad. I mean, he's staring his receiver down. It was about as easy a pick as you're going to get. And I still say Mahomes is going to be a boom or bust guy. He's going to make amazing plays, but then he's going to have plays like the one he had where he got picked off. He'll probably lead the NFL in interceptions because he has such trust in his arm that he can fit the ball into a thimble. But it's that kind of throw that he made to Tyreek Hill that just has Chiefs fans, you go, oh, my God. You know, he needs to do that twice a game. Just let Tyreek run as fast as he can and run under the ball. But I thought Kelce made a couple nice catches.
Yeah.
Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. But where's the running game? There's no running game right now. And I know they're not concentrating very hard on it right now, but you got to be able to run the football. There's been no Spencer Ware, though, no Sharkhandrick West.
Now, and very limited Kareem Hunt.
And very little Hunt. But there's there's three Williams, and one of them, the kid from LSU, I can't remember which one he is, but he's impressive. And Sharkhandrick West better be getting back because this kid can play. And he could be the third back if, you know, Sharkhandrick West carries a little more of a price tag. And, you know, the Williams guy, I'm sure being a rookie or, a young guy, doesn't have near the salary.
Right.
So Sharkhandrick.
That's a big part of it, too, the running back position.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, the Chiefs just picked up Orlando Scandrick from the Redskins, dropped him, and the Redskins said it had nothing to do with how he was playing. It ended up not working out for him.
The take I wanted to have, though, is I thought the Chiefs played way better in the first game that they lost than they did in the second game. And I'm not really paying that much attention to the third and fourth string guys.
Right.
I'm watching the first string.
Yep.
What happens when the ones are against the ones? I don't want to see ones versus twos, twos versus ones, ones versus ones. And the Atlanta ones kicked the Chiefs ones butt.
Yeah.
And I thought, and this is another strange take, that I thought Patrick Mahomes looked much more comfortable, but I thought he was worse than he was in any other game that I've seen him. The first preseason game, he was very hesitant and he was checking down. This game, he was comfortable and he was going through his progressions and looking down the field and making some throws. But I thought he was a little bit more all over the place. And obviously, the nuclear missile that he dropped down the field will be something that stands out. But all in all, I didn't think he was even that great in the game. And remember, I'm not making judgments on Patrick Mahomes until the end of this year.
Exactly.
Boom or bust. We don't know.
Well,
we won't know at the end of the first year.
I just go back to the expectations. They are so unfair. I mean, people are already getting his sculpture for his bust for Canton. He's not, I mean, come on. The guy, he's a rookie quarterback. He's basically, you know, he's a first-year guy. He's like Jared Goff and Carson Wentz were a couple years ago. And this is his first. Last year doesn't even count. He played one game. So he's basically a rookie quarterback.
It's going to be really crazy to watch Patrick Mahomes, and especially against this schedule that they're going to see to open up the season.
The first six games, honestly, they could be 1-5.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. They realistically could be 1-5.
At the Chargers, at the Steelers, 49ers at home, at the Broncos, Jacksonville at home, at New England.
That could go.
Is hard.
I mean, I think, I'll be honest, 3-3 would be a good start for the Chiefs this year. You know, they've had some fast starts under Andy Reid, but 3-3, I think, because after that, they have about a six-game stretch where they're probably going to be favored in about five of those games.
Bengals at home, Broncos at home, at the Browns, Cardinals at home, Rams in Mexico City.
And see, the Rams, you know, they were the story last year. They came out of nowhere to have a great year.
Well, now they've got this ragtag group of defensive guys that are all crazy.
Yeah.
Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, and Dominican Sue.
Yeah. And I think they're the team that takes the big step back this year. I think they had one of those years.
You're not a Sean McVay believer?
I think last year was the perfect storm for them. Remember, they were playing a last-place schedule. So,
well, and the NFC West has really changed from what it was even like 2 years ago.
It's not Seattle and everybody else.
When the Seahawks were so good, the Cardinals were in their role, and that's when the Rams were way down.
The Legion of Boom is now the Legion of Bo. There's no Richard Sherman. There's no Cam Chancellor. Earl Thomas may not be there for the first game because he's holding out.
That doesn't make me very upset.
And yeah, but the Legion of Boom is actually Legion of Buh because I don't even know who the fourth guy was. I think it was Patrick Lane or somebody like that.
What about the defensive lineman, number 72, Bennett?
Bennett.
Well, I guess the Legion of Boom was the secondary. I don't know.
But isn't Michael Bennett gone?
I don't know where he's at.
I thought he went to Philadelphia or some place like that.
Better stay out of the casinos in Vegas.
Yeah.
Whenever they're
But their defense, it's just a shell of its former self. And you look at the rest of that division, you got Arizona, new coach, Larry Fitzgerald last year. Defense isn't going to be very good. You got the 49ers.
And is Sam Bradford going to be the starting quarterback?
Sam Bradford, Arizona. So that means in week three they'll have a new quarterback because he'll be hurt.
we'll have an inflamed shoulder.
And then Jimmy G with San Francisco. He had a great seven games.
I'm not in on Jimmy G.
Yeah. And then the Rams. So, you're looking at a division, that may not be very good. So that may help the Chiefs.
Steve, let's take our final break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about the other McPhersonite teams, some of the area teams, as we have our first coaches show coming up on Saturday morning. You excited?
What time do we have to get up?
Well, I don't know what time you have to get up, but
I've gotten used to sleeping in on Saturday.
I guess we'll take the air at like 8:05.
Oh, I'll have to ride.
You could do that?
I'll have to set the alarm then.
I bet you will. All right, let's take our final break. Back after this, you're listening to According to Jim, 96.7 FM, KBBE.
You're listening to the According to Jim podcast with Jim Joyner and Steve Self. According to Jim is brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Nextech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. You can also listen live Monday through Friday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 96.7 FM KBBE or online at midkansasonline.com.
Wrapping up today's According to Jim, 96.7 FM KBBE. Steve, we're almost there.
Oh, I know.
We're almost there.
School started.
The summer for a lot of people is a really exciting time. You get to get out of school. You're singing Alice Cooper, School's Out, all summer long. But Steve and I sort of sit here and get sad. Well, I think we enjoy it for about the first month and a half.
I enjoy June. June's my favorite month of the year.
Then July, it's a slow crawl.
It is a slow crawl.
And then the beginning of August, painful.
The thing about June, there are things going on. You had Pipeliner Baseball. You got Mack College Summer League. You got Bullpup baseball team, a lot of tennis going on. But that all ends basically at the end of June. And then July kind of drags. And then August, when that calendar flips to August 1st,
there it comes.
You're getting that sense. You got about 10 days in anticipation, and then it's here. So sports are underway. Had that first week last week.
You've got some stories up at midkansasonline.com about some of the other teams. We talked about football earlier. Some of the volleyball stories, as well as boys soccer. I think you've got a tennis story up. I think you've got a cross country story
up.
Yeah,
I had a story on each of the McPherson High fall sports. The thoughts of their coaches after the first week, and it looks like it's going to be a great fall. I was out at soccer practice on Friday. They got that new turf on their new grass soccer field they practice on. It's just like carpet. It's just beautiful. Coach Adrian's really excited about it. Shane Bakus told me I'm not allowed to take a bucket of balls out there and practice hitting wedge shots.
Because you could take
some great divots in that.
Oh, you could take a mean divot.
Oh, yeah, mean divot. So anyway, stories up on all the McPherson High sports after 1 week. I'm working on football for the area schools. We're going to have some great area football this year. Heston's going to be good. Little River's going to be good.
Smoky Valley.
Smoky Valley's going to be good. I think Mound Ridge going to eight-man is going to be pretty good. Canton Galva. Now, there's a team to watch. Shelby Hoppus, you know, they'd only won 3 games in 2 years. He took over last year. They won 4 games. Basically, they have the same team back. I think they only had maybe one senior who really, you know, did a whole lot. They're going
to
be
glad he's not recruiting his nephews to go over there and play for
him.
Yeah,
exactly. So
imagine if you had Kyler and Caleb Hoppus on the Canton Galva team.
Oh, I know.
That'd be a high-powered offense.
Exactly, exactly. And Inman, of course, they have to be better. They were 0-9 last year. They play a tough schedule, but Coach Sawyer, he's a proven guy. He's done it at other places. So I think the Teutons will be better this year.
Steve, quickly, before we get out of here, the first AP preseason college football poll came out today. I don't think you've seen it.
I haven't.
Give me the top five. Just take a guess, and I think you're going to be really close.
I'll say Alabama 1.
Yep.
I'll say Clemson 2.
Yep.
I'll say Georgia 3. Ohio State has to be 4 or 5 in there.
They're 5. Give me 4.
Okay, I'm forgetting something. Maybe USC?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin?
Yeah, they're 4.
Gee, I don't know where they got that from. I can't see Wisconsin being up there. But
that's pretty good, though, that you got 4 out of 5.
Well, I mean, it's the same.
Just off the top of your head.
I'm telling you, watch Kansas State. Kansas State.
I thought you were going to say Kansas.
Kansas State.
State was projected to win 4 games by several publications last week.
I'm telling you right now, if my man Alex Barnes gets 20 rushes a game, K-State is going to be about 9-2 or 10-12. Well, they play 12.
Yeah.
9-3. Say 9-3. They're going to be a top 15, top. They're going to be on the fringe of the top 10. I really believe that. I really do.
Maybe Steve is just trying to pander to the K-State people.
No,
that they think, oh, all he cares about is KU.
I think offensively, they are going to be such a juggernaut. They have their entire starting offensive line back. They got 2 capable quarterbacks. They got that stable of running. They're going to be among the national leaders in rushing yards this year.
I'll give you that.
As long as Bill Snyder listens to me and gives Alex Barnes the ball 20 times a game.
I've got a feeling he's not going to listen.
He averages like 8 or 9 yards a
carry. He might do it, but he's not listening to you.
Well, Moses, he did write me a note one time. Bill Snyder.
You still got it.
I do somewhere. I just got to figure out where it's at, but Bill, I wrote a story when Bill Snyder was in McPherson. And I wrote a story, and I think Galen Regeer must have sent him the story. And within 2 weeks, I got a note from Bill Snyder, said, very professional job.
Friend of the show.
Yeah, so Bill Snyder could be considered friend of the show.
Let's wrap up today's show. For Steve Sell, I'm Jim Joyner. Thanks for listening to According to Jim. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
According to Jim with Jim Joyner and Steve Sell was brought to you by Great Plains Federal Credit Union, Farmers State Bank with branch locations in McPherson, Lindsborg, and Galva, Next Tech Wireless, and Brown Shoe Fit in downtown McPherson. Make sure to listen to According to Jim every weekday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. right here on 96.7 FM KBBE. Well, I guess it's-